Like I was saying, I called Trace about it. I messaged Trace to let him know just in case he'd be interested in it. But yeah, human skull at an estate sale. Apparently the backstory is the lady whose house it was for, she was a nurse. She was a retired nurse who was a nurse like in the 60s and 70s and shit. And she somehow brought a skull home. it was obviously, I've been watching too much Forensic Files. I could tell that it was an elderly person's skull because the sutures in the skull had actually closed. Some of them were totally closed where you couldn't even see the lines anymore. And oh, wow. all the teeth were gone except for the back molars, except for the wisdom teeth, and that's it. But yeah, it was pretty freaky looking, man.
I can imagine. I've seen somebody added me to a group called, you know, Unusual Oddities and Antiques, and people have different things. Like, I don't know what the legality of selling like human body parts is, like skulls and teeth.
You can.
And stuff
I checked
that.
It out. I checked it out before I went. It is legal to possess and sell and buy a human skull.
Rock and roll. Well, yeah. So, I'm not sure, but I see stuff like that. But then I'm like, okay, well, once you've got that sort of thing, I mean, I don't know so much. Like, I would certainly have to have a conversation with a wife because of, you know, call it bad juju or whatever.
Right.
But I was talking with Andy, our friend, one time, and like I went to an estate sale one, and this dude was very not a Nazi. This dude was very much like he had killed Nazis, and he had a whole bunch of battle trophies. So he had like a swastika armband. He had some coins and some medals and different stuff that he had collected. Like, dude had like America stuff all over his house and some stuff that he took off some dead Germans. But he had a perfect, like in perfect condition with the leather still inside of it, SS helmet.
Wow.
With the SS emblazoned on it with the lightning bolts and everything. And they wanted like $200 for it, right? Which is like, that's not much.
That sounds cheap to me, right?
It sounds really cheap. Like, and I was tempted. I was like, you know what? Like, I know enough people who buy, sell, and resell, and I don't think there's really any kind of bad juju attached to this thing because obviously it was harvested by a GI who took it home with him, right. You know? So was it the Stephen King story where it's like got the Nazi next door? Like, no, not that at all. Like, but at the same time, like, you know, there's just certain things that I just don't want to mess with.
Right. Well, they had that one lady that was hiring me to do a consignment for some items she had from her dad. One of the things, I don't know if you remember this, but it was a grave marker the guy took from an island during World War II of a Japanese soldier. Mm-hmm. He stole the grave marker and brought it back with him. And I was like, oh, I'm not taking that to my house. He said, you can leave it here. I'll get some pictures of it and try to sell it for you. But I'd rather not. That just sounds bad juju, like you said.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's certain collectibles that I'm just like, that's probably best left to a museum or to a collector who appreciates it. You know, God forbid somebody who's actually interested in Nazism were to buy it, but right. You know, like I don't know what I would do with it. I'd turn it on. I'd take it down to Kevin's antique store and sell it to him. Which at that point I'm just like, I'd rather just deal with comics and Transformers and freaking.
Well, I've got that one model kit from that old exploitation film from the 70s, Ilsa, the She-Wolf of the Nazi SS. Uh-huh. So it's a model kit of her character from the movie, and that's one I haven't wanted to touch that one just because, you know, she's wearing swastikas and everything, and it just doesn't seem right.
You know, it's a weird thing because I remember being in when I was a kid, I drew swastikas on everything because they were the bad guys. So like, right. Whenever I was drawing battles and stuff, you know, you had good guys who had the little star, And then you had bad guys who had the little swastika, and then you blew up the guys with the swastikas. But man, I draw that shit on everything. Now the world's gone and got itself all offended, so you can't draw swastikas on stuff no more. And please, if you just came into the thing, go back and listen to the last 10 minutes. Because
see the lead up, please.
Oh, man. So how you been, man? How's your week?
Not too bad, man. Just same old, bro. Trying to make it one day at a time through all this bullshit.
I'm telling you, man. Hopefully there's going to be a little bit of break in the heat, because this summer's been weird. Because first of all, nobody's going outside, right? But we had it was like steady up on heat. So it was like, okay, every day it's a little bit hotter. Every day it's like a degree or two. Not too much. And then it's like, boom, heat wave. You know, like 110 degree days that feel like they're 120. Like everybody's, and then it laid off a little bit so that the 90s actually felt good again. But right. then it's been just creeping back up. So
but the humidity was so bad there for a couple of days, man. It was just steamy outside, dude.
Yeah, makes me tired, dude. Just makes me want to take a nap. But nah, man, things have been going good. I know that I'm supposed to be like some kind of Prince of Darkness, but I've actually been learning how to play the ukulele because I'm trying to get my daughters to play music, and the guitars are too big for the little one's hand.
Right.
So she got the little one, Autumn, she got a ukulele for Christmas, and it's so small that it seems like almost a toy. But then whenever when you go on YouTube and you're like, okay, here's how you actually manipulate the instrument, it's like, oh, okay, it actually sounds good, and you can play songs with it. You just have to learn the chords.
Right.
Well, I've been playing guitar for freaking 30 years at this point, so I'm not very good. I should be a lot better after 30 years, but regardless, I can make chords. So I started learning how to play the ukulele just to help the girls. And so again, like I said, supposed to be over here, Prince of Darkness, but instead I'm sitting there like upstroking the little happy Hawaiian tunes. So yeah. That's been kind of a little upbeat sort of thing.
But yeah, just been keeping in touch with everybody. Hopefully we're going to have an interview here pretty soon with one of the guests from Houston Horror Film Festival that I'm getting lined up. We just need to get in touch with her and find out how she wants to do it and what we're going to need to record and everything with her. So we should have our first interview set up soon, man.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, yeah, we're going to continue what we did last week to talk about the birth years. So last week we talked about Scott's, and this week we'll talk about my favorite subject, which is me. And but first, we're going to call in Mr. Gomez for some assistance.
First, the old business.
And let us know, man, because the old business kind of started to wear itself out, so we changed formats. If you want us to go back to what happened horrifically in history, we can. I'm just trying to do something new. But this time I spun the wheel on the randomizer, and it brought us back to the ripe old age of 1991.
The year of my graduation, my 30th high school reunion's coming up, dude.
That's rough, bro. I mean, not. I mean, it's obviously it's better than the alternative. You're still around, but
right.
Which, by the way, I saw that prom picture of you with white socks on. That's pretty.
That's awesome, dude. 14-year-old me, dude.
Dude. First of all, you look awesome. The hair's on point. The suit's on point. But you got those socks peeking out the bottom.
White gym socks on, dude.
Good stuff. All right, so kind of an unassuming year, 1991, just kind of hides there in the 90s, you know the 90s for, but then in 1991 the 90s hadn't really become the 90s. We were still kind of reeling from the 80s. So here's a bunch of fun stuff that came out in 1991. If you're a fan of horror, Silence of the Lambs came out in 1991, and it won an Academy Award. It was a long time before another horror movie would win an Academy Award.
And I was actually working at the movies back then. I remember the poster. I took that poster home. It was the full double-sided lobby poster that I used to have. Wish I still had the damn thing, but yeah, I remember very well when that movie came out.
Good stuff, man. Silence of the Lambs is horrifying. I mean, yeah. And what's so crazy is it really is with the gore and the horror of it all. It is a straight up horror movie, but because it's got star power and an acclaimed director, it was put under kind of like the suspense umbrella.
Thriller.
So the thriller. So it got to make it through. But it's a straight up horror movie. If you've never seen Silence of the Lambs before, you're not in for anything other than straight up horror. all right. Remember when a young Patrick Swayze and a young Johnny Utah robbed banks and went surfing?
Yes, I do.
1991 was Point Break.
You better not forget about Gary Busey, son.
Dude. Old Gary Busey. Give me two.
Dude, if you get I don't know if you've seen this. Sorry, it's off topic, but you brought up Gary Busey. I brought up Gary Busey. Have you watched Gary Busey Pet Judge on Amazon Prime?
No.
It is a fever dream type show. It is the weirdest shit you have ever seen, but it's totally fake. It's 100% fake, but instead of like People's Court, Gary Busey is the judge, and he's helping decide cases concerning pets. It is the stupidest shit, and I watched all 6 episodes of it. Just because it was Gary Busey.
Dude, I know we talked about it on the episode before, or the one before that, but Gary Busey, not too long ago, had a little public service announcement. It was a PSA. And after the show, please, or pause the show, and go look up Gary Busey Peanuts. Because this mofo goes, he comes on, and he's sitting in his home office, and he's sitting on a stool, and he's talking very in a very deep voice, and he's talking about how we all need to come together as humans to combat this crisis, and that he wrote a song about it, and he picks up a Gibson acoustic guitar, which is in a very, very expensive instrument, and he's like, I wrote a song that's designed to bring unity. He strums it. It's out of tune. He punk rock strums it and starts just just ranting about peanuts. Peanuts! Peanuts are our friends! It's just the weirdest thing that I've ever seen. And then he's just like, yeah, I hope that helps. And then he like signs off and you're just like, this dude is rad.
You should have saw me trying to explain to my daughter how, look, I swear, Olivia, this guy used to be an incredible actor and such an awesome dude. I realize he's crazy now, but you got to realize at one time he was not like this.
Yeah. But yeah, old Point Break, man.
Great movie.
That was a really good movie. Cape Fear. The remake of Cape Fear with Robert De Niro.
What's his name? Nick Nolte.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Addams Family. The live action, or not the live action. I mean, yeah, it's live action, but.
Yeah, the Raul Julia.
Raul Julia was so awesome, too.
Yeah.
Have you seen the animated Addams Family that came out recently?
No, I have not seen it, no.
It's actually pretty cute. It's good. I mean, it's not wonderful, but it's the Addams Family, so you can't help but like it. Right. Hook with Robin Williams and Dustin Hoffman came out in 91. That's an awesome movie, too.
Yeah.
I'm partial to this one just because I like the main actress, but remember Career Opportunities?
Yeah. Yeah. Sure do.
Look it up. You won't regret it. Jennifer Connelly is the actress in question. All right. The Bill Murray classic, What About Bob?
Awesome, awesome movie. I love that film, dude. I worked at the movies when it was there. You got to realize that we get bored in between films, and we'd pick a movie and watch half of it like every night. Yeah. And that was one of the ones I always stood in the back watching that movie, man. It was awesome.
You know what I like best about What About Bob? Is that I really don't like Richard Dreyfuss very much. And the fact that he was so annoyed by Bob. He's
so angry. Yes.
I'm sure Richard Dreyfuss is probably an asshole in real life. But
I've heard that he is.
He plays an asshole really well.
Yeah.
And so it's just really good to see him just kind of be overly annoyed. Because, there's no reason to be an asshole, bro. All right. The People Under the Stairs.
Great movie. Great movie by Wes Craven, man. I love that movie.
So I was in high school in 1991, and I remember being told that People Under the Stairs was like one of the scariest movies that somebody had ever seen. So I was actually kind of scared to watch it. But then somebody chose it. You know, we were all hanging out one night, and somebody chose it, and I remember watching it, being like, "This isn't terribly scary, but it is awesome."
But it is a good movie, yeah.
You know, I liked it. It's good stuff. All right, remember Backdraft?
Yes. Yeah.
We're gonna probably either here or on What's Awesome. We're gonna have to do a special on Kurt Russell.
Okay. Because
Kurt Russell's the man.
Oh yeah, he was for sure, man.
Rick and I are talking about it because I did. I didn't fresh eyes it. I just threw a movie in the other night because I want to watch it. But I rewatched Escape from New York. I hadn't seen that all the way through in a long time. You know, probably like 10 years or so. And it's really good. But then we talked about Big Trouble in Little China, and we talked about The Thing, and then Escape from New York, and how Snake, RJ, and Jack Burton are three completely different characters played thoroughly differently by the same guy.
Well, like, he's such a great actor, man. His comedic abilities are even awesome. I mean, he just went overboard, used cars. I mean, he's a great funny guy, but he can also be serious, play an action hero. He's awesome, dude.
Yeah. So we need to talk about Kurt Russell, because Kurt Russell's the bomb.
He's been in some great films, man.
He's been in a lot of them. All right. Well, we're not in any hurry or whatever, but geez, there's a lot of movies that came out. So Boys in the Hood came out in 91.
Classic film.
City Slickers.
Okay, good movie.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Freaking The Doors. Hot Shots. Robin Hood. The Rocketeer. New Jack City. Last Boy Scout.
Love that movie, dude.
Dude, like if you saw a movie every month, like I just listed like 20 some movies. If you were in a movie every, and that was just the ones I wrote down. There's a crap load more that I was like, it doesn't really apply. There's still a lot of good ones.
Right.
And then of course, your favorite one, The Final Nightmare. I guess that's part five. You didn't like the.
I didn't like New Nightmare.
New Nightmare. Final Nightmare is all right. You're good. But yeah, so yeah, you want to go tour a year? Go hit up 1991. That'll show you.
It was funny, as just you mentioning all this is bringing back so many memories. Like I said, I worked at the movie theater. I was in high school at that time, and we would do stuff where we would have midnight. This is like before they charged people to have a midnight release, and you bought tickets and shit. Mm-hmm. We would have private parties where we'd invite all our friends and shit and do midnight movies and everything. And we had a sound system hooked up to the Dolby theater. So we could play CDs beforehand, everybody cutting up and drinking and shit, and then a movie on at midnight, dude. It was several of those movies were in our midnight movie rotation. That's awesome, dude.
Well, that was old business. Let's take a break, and we'll come back and listen to the new.
When we first met years ago, it was an evening much like this. Magic in the air. A boy.
A girl.
An open grave.
You were so beautiful, pale and mysterious. No one even looked at the corpse.
Ah, miss!
Wednesday, play with your food.
Is this made from real lemons?
Yes.
I'll buy a cup if you buy a box of my delicious Girl Scout cookies.
Are they made from real Girl Scouts?
Dang, you're a handful. I've done this before.
This holiday season, they'll make you feel right at home.
Last night, you were like some desperate howling demon. You frightened me. Do it again.
The Addams Family.
All right, let's get into some new business, Mr. Gomez.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, I won't keep it too long. I just got a few things to talk about, but a couple of things are fairly apropos, like this story I'm about to get into, coming out of Cape Cod, Maine. I'm talking about Maine's Bailey Island, to be specific. But for the first time ever, there's been a recorded shark-related fatality, and it was a great white shark that killed somebody off the coast of Maine. So a great white shark made it pretty far north.
They range pretty far, and I remember I posted it in somewhere, but it was like the headline was like, it was a great white shark that killed a woman in Maine, and it's still out there. And somebody's response was like, "Was it supposed to turn itself in?"
Oh shit! Oh man! But 63-year-old Julie Dempiro Holowich was in the water with her daughter, paddling through the water. She was wearing a black wetsuit. All of a sudden, started flailing, and her daughter hauled ass back to shore. Started screaming for help, and kayakers found her body, brought it back to shore. By the time the paramedics arrived, she had already passed away from the first fatal shark attack in Maine's history. And like I said, it was a great white shark attack, which...
They pulled a tooth
out
of her.
Pretty crazy, yeah. They recovered a fragment of a tooth. They sent it to a shark biologist, and that's when it was determined that it was, in fact, a great white shark that killed the lady. All right. Okay. Let me introduce you to Mr. Stephen Lee Donovan, 22-year-old pizza delivery man from Fruitland Park, Florida. He was outside of a Circle K one night in his 1996 Honda Civic and decided to go ahead and pleasure himself one Tuesday night while in the parking lot of the Circle K. So a woman's car was parked nearby and noticed that his penis was in his hand and he was stroking himself in up and down motions. Unfortunately for Donovan, the witness was an off-duty cop from the neighboring city. She copied down his license plate number, called police dispatchers, let them know. Police showed up at his home. The vehicle was actually registered to his girlfriend, Miss Maxine Monroe. During questioning, they asked him if he happened to be at the Circle K that night, and he said yes. As a matter of fact, I did stop at the Circle K on my way home from work to grab a post-work drink. So immediately he put himself at the location. Surveillance video did show where he had parked his car, pulled his pants down, grabbed his... He had his mask on, though. So he was being complacent with the mask order while he was masturbating himself in the parking lot of the Circle K. So they go ahead, cuff him, throw him in the back seat. His girlfriend asked to go ahead and talk to him. And the whole conversation was recorded on the dash cam video. And he was very apologetic to his girlfriend, acknowledging that he was horny and was masturbating to pornography, and told his girlfriend he didn't think masturbating in his car was illegal. Apparently, he thought he was in a sovereign area where laws did not apply to him because he was in the comfort of his own vehicle. But that was his excuse as far as why he thought his car was a sovereign zone where he can go ahead and do whatever he wanted to do. So, just so you know, that is not the case. So we'll close out with one of our favorite guys, Mr. Will Greenlee from St. Lucie, Florida. Yay, Mr. Greenlee. Title of this story, It Came From Her, / Hindquarters in St. Lucie County, is the name of the story. Okay. A woman told St. Lucie County Sheriff's deputy she forgot about a drug pipe that an x-ray apparently determined was in her anus. The case of the 34-year-old lady with an apparent crack pipe sequestered in her hindquarters happened June 12th at 3 a.m. Investigators went to Orange Avenue and Rock Road west of Fort Pierce near the St. Lucie County Jail after a report of a possible impaired driver. The woman was slouched over the steering wheel of her Toyota, her foot on the brake, and the vehicle in drive. One person said the vehicle was there for about 20 minutes total time. So the woman just stopped there with her foot on the brake for 20 minutes just sitting there in the car. The woman of Fort Pierce residence says she was tired and hadn't been getting much sleep. After participating in field sobriety exercises, they determined that she was impaired, and she was arrested on a DUI charge. Investigators found what they were said were items consistent with smoking drugs in her vehicle. Taken to jail, x-ray showed a foreign object in her groin area. Strip search revealed a charged cylindrical object or pipe with filter material inside. Where do you think he's going to go now? Where do you think Greenlee is going now? Okay. In learning of the pipe, a deputy was told it came from her anus, quote unquote, in the strip search, a report states. Let's go, Greenlee, buddy. Quote unquote, it came from her anus is reminiscent of popular movie titling conventions such as It Came from Outer Space in 1953, It Came from Beneath the Sea 1955, It Came from Another World 2007, and It Came from Yesterday in 2011. An anus, the plural of which is anuses, is the opening at the lower end of the alimentary canal through which the solid refuse's digestion is excreted, according to dictionary.com. He went to dictionary.com and got the official definition.
He probably looked up several until he found one that was cool.
Anus is not to be confused with onus, an often burdensome obligation or task, or Uranus, the seventh planet from the sun with an equatorial diameter of about 32,600 miles. Meanwhile, the woman told deputies she forgot about the pipe, the dimensions of which were not listed. In addition to the DUI charge, the woman was arrested on possession of drug paraphernalia and introduction of contraband into a detention facility. Yeah. The dude thought we'd get anus confused with onus. I love this guy so much, man. But I did notice he's apparently graduated from just off the beat to where he's doing serious stories too in some of the other areas of the website.
So that's cool.
He's actually doing some stories.
Because he has got enough readers. He had to pivot, right?
But that's it for new business today.
Rock and roll. Well, we will take a break and we will be right back.
You on the Indianapolis?
What happened? Japanese submarine slammed two torpedoes into our side, Chief. He was coming back from the island of Tinian to Lady and just delivered the bomb, the Hiroshima bomb. 1,100 men went into the water. The vessel went down in 12 minutes. Didn't see the first shark for about half an hour. Tiger, 13-footer. You know that when you're in the water, Chief? You tell by looking from the dorsal to the tail. Well, we didn't know. Because our bomb mission had been so secret. No distress signal had been sent. They didn't even list as overdue for a week. Very first light, Chief. Sharks come cruising. So we formed ourselves into tight groups. You know, it's kind of like old squares in a battle, like you see in a calendar, like the Battle of Waterloo. And the idea was, shark comes the nearest man, that man, he start pounding and hollering and screaming. Sometimes the shark go away. Sometimes he wouldn't go away. Sometimes that shark, he looks right into you, right into your eyes. You know the thing about a shark, he's got lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. When he comes at you, he doesn't seem to be living until he bites you, and those black eyes roll over white, and then, then you hear that terrible high-pitched screaming. The ocean turns red, and despite all the pounding and the hollering, they all come in and they rip you to pieces. You know, by the end of that first dawn, lost 100 men. I don't know how many sharks, maybe 1,000. I don't know how many men, they average 6 an hour. On Thursday morning, Chief, I bumped into a friend of mine, Herbie Robinson from Cleveland. Baseball player, bosun's mate. I thought he was asleep. Reached over to wake him up. Bobbed up and down in the water. It was like a kind of top. Upended. Well, he'd been bitten in half below the waist. Noon the fifth day, Mr. Hooper, Lockheed Ventura saw us. He swung in low and he saw us. He was a young pilot, a lot younger than Mr. Hooper anyway. He saw us and he come in low. And 3 hours later, a big fat PBY comes down and started to pick us up. You know, that was the time I was most frightened, waiting for my turn. I'll never put on a life jacket again. So 1,100 men went in the war. 316 men come out. The sharks took the rest. June the 29th, 1945. Anyway, we delivered the bomb.
All right. Yeah, talking about the year that was, the good one, 1975. Sorry, I'm getting weird texts that are like hours old. It's kind of weird, but let me reply to this real quick. I will hopefully cut this out, but maybe not. Well, you're dinging too.
It's coming from downstairs, man. It's not even my phone.
All right. So yeah, but to go back to what we were talking about as far as like the movies and stuff, the movies that made us, the stuff that came out in 1975, there is a big one, but we'll get to that eventually.
Yeah.
But one of the more influential ones, one of kind of the classics that came out the year I was born, was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes.
Jack Nicholson and...
Wasn't Danny DeVito in that one also?
To be fair though, to go back to the Greenlee sort of thing, like having an insane asylum full of people just randomly decide to not take their medicine and escape at the same time is not a good plan because most people are in asylums for a reason.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure that there were some people that, like the system just overlooked, or maybe their symptoms weren't as severe as whatever, but man, can you imagine just having an insane asylum just empty itself out? Like, yay, everybody run and go. The problem is the man. Stop taking your medicine. Like, oh, yeah, that's...
That'll turn out well.
So did I ever tell you about I'm probably at 150, almost 160 episodes. I've probably told you my Rocky Horror Picture Show story, right?
Which one? Let's go over it again.
So the Rocky Horror Picture Show, it is in the title of the film. It's a horror movie, right? It's a horror movie, and it's a famous one. It's one of those movies that you probably need to see if you're interested in horror at all.
Right.
So I was like in like 9th or 10th grade, and I used to go hang out over this dude's house because his parents were hardly ever there, and when they were upstairs, and we had the run of the house. We could come and go as we pleased. You know, there's beer in the fridge. His parents didn't care if we drank. It was awesome. So, all right, we're going to get together. We're going to drink beer and watch a horror movie. So... we freaking rented Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Under the assumption it was going to be a scary horror movie.
I had no idea what it was. We put it in. We start watching it. And if you remember, you know, that opening scene with Susan Sarandon, which I had not at the time, I had not seen Night of the Living Dead. So I didn't have that frame of reference for
Okay.
What they were actually doing. So it was just like, it was just the story. But then out comes transvestite Tim Curry, and it's a musical. And me and my friend, like, he moved away, like, in the 10th grade or whatever, but we're sitting there, like, drinking Budweiser tall boys and, like, looking at each other like, what the hell is this? This is before Beavis and Butthead existed, but both of us are just like, what the hell is this crap? We got through the first, like, 20 minutes of it, and we're like, yep, let's watch something else. This is the gayest thing in the world. Which, you know, hey, call it what it is, but it's different in literally, like, we're talking, like, you know, I was in high school, so this is, like, we're talking about in the first segment, 1991. That's probably right. About the first time I saw this. You're just like, nah.
Yeah, my first experience with it actually was after high school, probably first or second year of college. They had a Rocky Horror Picture Show night at a movie theater in Lafayette, Louisiana. And so I actually, the first time seeing it, I had the experience of people setting coffee creamer on fire and throwing toast around the auditorium. So it was different. Fun. It was different, right? Right. It was one of those situations where it's kind of contagious, just the excitement and everything, because everybody's having a good time and you just go with it, man.
I can get that. Two dudes sitting there watching it on TV while they're drinking beers.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. Like.
All right. Another great one from 1975.
I can see y'all sitting on separate ends of the couch like, gay buffer, stay away.
It's like, you know, like, gay buffer is just like, what the hell? It's like, whose idea was this? Did you know about this? Like, why? We could have been watching Nightmare on Elm Street or something.
But it's so funny. I used to have friends like that we'd go to the movie theater and they couldn't sit in the seat right next to you. You had to have an empty seat in between each person. And they were so homophobic. They were like, gotta have a buffer, man. Gotta have a buffer, dude.
That's never been me. I like having
the seat. No, it wasn't me, but I had friends like that would do shit like that, man. It's like, come on, dude.
I like having a separate seat to have the popcorn in. Like, hey, stop reaching your hand in my crotch, bro. Okay, so this one... this one is one of those that just keeps getting better, but Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
I've watched it a couple nights ago.
You know, that's Monty Python. Monty Python's just so. I realize Mr. Bean is not Monty Python, but in that same vein of British humor, weird, like, it's reserved slapstick. Whereas, like, with the Three Stooges, right? You have them all like hitting each other and crashing into stuff. The British, it's a lot more reserved. The jokes are a lot more subtle.
Right. It's more cerebral.
My kids were arguing one day about what they're going to watch, and I was like, okay, fine, you're watching Mr. Bean. And they're both like, no, I don't want to watch Mr. Bean. Like, they don't – I was like, you ever seen Mr. Bean? They're like, no. It's like, well, then you're watching Mr. Bean. And I threw it on there, like, season one, episode one of the Mr. Bean show from BBC from, like, early 80s. And they're both just like, man, I don't want to watch it. And then, like, 20 minutes later, they're just like, can we watch another one? Can we watch another one? Like, they watched it for half the day. It's amazing. They're a little young for Monty Python because they just wouldn't get it.
Right.
But because Mr. Bean doesn't talk. He just does funny stuff. Like, he gets chased by a bee or, like, puts marmalade on his toast and makes it funny.
They're always Three older, Stooges for, man. My kids love Three Stooges.
Oh, hell yeah. I was just saying, like, when they get older, Monty Python's going to be required.
I remember when I was young watching Monty Python and Fawlty Towers on public broadcasting station. I would watch it every night, man. I love some Monty Python. I love British comedy. There was one that would come on also. I can't remember the name of it, but it sucked. I couldn't get that one. But I could definitely get Monty Python and Fawlty Towers. I used to enjoy those two shows.
And now for something completely different.
Different.
Oh, man. Okay, the original Stepford Wives came out in 1975. One of those that I've seen once, it was chilling. I saw the remake. It wasn't so great.
The remake was horrible. With Matthew Broderick you're talking about? Yeah, it was terrible.
I was like, wait, this blows. But the original one was good.
Yeah.
Rollerball, dude. James Caan, bro.
I was actually the other day I was looking at somebody was watching Rollerball, and they took a picture of the screen where it looks like a young Kevin Costner is in the movie. But he searched and he couldn't find anything on IMDb saying that Kevin Costner. So he actually tweeted Kevin Costner, and Kevin Costner replied, said, "Yep, that's me."
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he was an extra in Rollerball, which I thought was awesome, dude.
That is killer. Kevin Costner is making a pretty good comeback now.
Yeah.
Like, he disappeared for a while. He's doing all right. All right. How about Death Race 2000? Kind of in that same...
Dude, when I was a kid, me and my cousin would watch that shit all the time, to the point where we started, on our bikes, we would reenact Death Race 2, try to knock each other off our bikes and shit. We had a...
gather points.
We had a bank that we would ride around through the drive-thru on the weekends when they were closed. And it was crazy. We were psychopaths, dude. There was a... where you came down from the drive-thru, it was a ramp that went straight down. And there's a total blind spot where you can't see if any cars are coming around the corner. And we would just go flying through there all fucking day, dude, trying to kill each other. But yeah, that's an awesome movie.
Yeah, Death Race. Like, for those who are listening, if you've ever been in a car with somebody and somebody points out, like, oh, hey, you know.
50 points.
Yeah, 10 points or 50 points. And you're like, what is the points? Who gets the points? Where do you cash the points in? It's from Death Race 2000.
Yeah.
That's where it's from.
Stallone, Carradine, that was an awesome movie.
You get points for smashing into people and hurting stuff. Like, it's not a race like Cannonball Run where you, like, do the best you can to make it from one end to the other with the least amount of police interference. Like, you're not trying to hurt stuff. You're just trying to get there fast.
Right.
Whereas with Death Race 2000, it's
Death Race.
It's Death Race. You're trying to collect points by messing stuff up. It's awesome. We need to do a fresh eyes on that one because I haven't seen that one in so long.
I haven't
long,
seen it in a long time.
But you're talking about it, and I'm just like, dude, like, and especially in the 70s because they didn't have CGI and it wasn't one of those like Final Destinations, like quick, like boom, death. It was just like they like get a mannequin and fill it full of potatoes and blood so that you had the gravity and you had the splatter and it would just like roll on the ground. It's like, and I mean, it's just like
and all the cars were over the top with spikes and cattle crushers on them and all kind of shit. Dude. It's just such a good movie, man.
Yeah, we got to do a fresh eyes on that one. I'll see if I can find that one. And
That'd be fun. That'd be fun to do.
Because it's funny that we're laughing so hard nostalgically about a movie that's so brutal. It is a really good movie. All right. Last week you were talking about the blaxploitation. Dolomite came out in 75.
Nice, dude. It was, you know, I've got all the Rudy Ray Moore stuff on my iPad. When I was a kid, this is so funny. My mom dated this guy named Jim. And this was probably when I was 11, 12 years old, around that age. And he would literally stick me in front of the TV watching Rudy Ray Moore concerts. So I grew up watching all this just over-the-top outlandish shit, dude. Dolomite is hilarious. If you take it for what it is, it's a hilarious-ass movie. But you can't take it seriously. It's just Rudy Ray Moore being Rudy Ray Moore, man. Just trying to be over-the-top outlandish, in your face, just shock you with everything.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of that. That's where people, again, we keep talking about it, like people are offended by everything.
Right.
That's, you know, it's like, have you seen that show, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, Jerry
yes.
Seinfeld? We might have talked about it a couple of weeks ago. But Seinfeld has on people who, it's like, you can't run through 80s comedy without really, honestly, truly, with the exception of Jerry Seinfeld, because Jerry Seinfeld's always been a clean comic.
Mm-hmm.
But he made it kind of in spite of that. But Jesus Christ, dude, even Bob Saget of like America's Funniest Home Videos is a raunchy comic.
Oh, he used to, dude, I've listened to some of his stand-up. He is very raunchy, dude.
Mm-hmm. You know, Robin Williams, Robin Williams was a very hairy dude, and like he has an act about like going down on chicks, and he's got this big old hairy arm, and he's sitting there like, rah, 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 rah. And it's just like this visual comedy that's just like Robin Williams never made it 4 seconds without saying the F word unless he was being paid millions of dollars to be in a Disney movie.
Right.
Right. Like he was Sam Kinison, Eddie Murphy, Andrew Dice Clay, Bobcat Goldthwait, like all these guys, like the Rondo, like Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. Like I've probably mentioned Eddie Murphy a couple times, but like our childhood was raunchy comedy, and now everybody's so offended by everything. Everything's got to be so mind your P's and Q's, and it's like almost Victorian in its properness, and it sucks.
It does.
Because I've seen comedy specials, and the only one that has balls enough to say what he's thinking is Chappelle. And even they tried to cancel that dude. Like, right. How do you cancel Dave Chappelle? Like, you can't, first of all, because he's unkillable. Like, Dave Chappelle's that guy.
He don't give a shit, dude.
He's like, you know what? Fine, I'll just take my $100 million and go home. Shut right. up. Like, but you can't cancel Dave Chappelle. If you can't understand that dude's joking. Like, he's telling jokes. He showed up to the joke place to tell jokes to you who paid money to watch him tell jokes, and you're offended?
You're offended, right.
Like, no. That's not how this works. So, like you said, it's Dolomite, don't take it too seriously. Like, how could you take a Dolomite seriously? Like, even in the 70s, you're like, ah. Nope.
Which brings people me... People don't realize it. Just one of the latest ones that I've seen is with Ice Cube, with people freaking out at Ice Cube right now, saying, oh my God, he's an anti-Semite. I'm like, you don't know Ice Cube, do you? Because if you listen to, like, his 6 albums that came out in the 90s, the dude was an anti-Semite. He did a couple of kids' movies for you guys in the suburbs, but trust me, this guy goes way back with this shit, man.
Well, again, that's that strange expectation. Like, again, I think Bob Saget's probably the easiest in, because he was in Full House, which was a total family show.
Right. He was like America's Dad.
He was America's Dad, and he did America's Funniest Home Videos, which was Sunday afternoon. Like, that's right when you're getting home from church and you're going to watch America's Funniest Home Videos before your children go to bed. But the dude got those jobs because he was a famous, or like, he wasn't even a famous stand-up. Right. He was a likable stand-up that had connections, and he got put in those. But you listen to him talk about how he got offered those jobs, and he's like, I don't understand why they talk to me. Like, maybe he just looked the part. He was just kind of a you know, he had the deep voice, and he's kind of a tall, skinny, nerdy-looking dude. Perfect visual for a. But yeah, like that was how it works. Yeah. I remember reading, and it's like my neighbor, because we remember in that one episode we talked about the National Enquirer and Weekly World News. My neighbor had all of those tabloids, and I remember reading an interview with Bob Saget in like People magazine, who's just absolutely shocked. Like, I have no idea how I have this job. And it's like, he's normally known for raunchy comedy where he talks about his wife's bodily fluids, but somehow he got this job. And I'm like, so yeah, I knew that in the 80s, man. Like, I'm not knocking him. I think that he should be able to say whatever the hell he wants.
But right.
You can't go back in time and be mad at him for raunchy stand-up, because that's where he came from, you know?
If you ever get a chance, Google Jamie Kennedy Experiment Bob Saget. I don't know if you ever saw it, but Jamie Kennedy used to have a hidden camera show.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one practical joke he pulled on people using Bob Saget, where he brought a tour bus full of people to Bob Saget's house. You got to watch it, dude. It is hilarious, man.
I'm down, dude. All right. We're coming up on some serious talk here, though. Do you remember the Trilogy of Terror?
Yes, yeah.
The other two, there's 3 segments, and nobody remembers the
people remembers the one. People always remember just the one, dude.
That inspired Child's Play. It probably inspired Toy Story. It certainly inspired you know, small soldiers.
Puppet Master, fucking demonic toys. There's so many movies that were inspired by that.
And that holds up. I watched it on YouTube not too long ago. Either YouTube or Amazon. Something. Just a segment where Karen Black's just by herself in the apartment, and this thing is just getting her. And it's like she plays it so perfectly because on the one hand, you're so surprised because what are you supposed to believe? Like when a little tiny little doll starts freaking out and trying to stab you, right? Like in real life, if that happened, you'd be like, the first thing you do is like, this is a dream. Like you'd probably hop up on a desk and be like, no way, but you'd fight back and do the best you could. But that is terrifying.
Yeah.
And the way they filmed it and the little doll is just, yeah. Trilogy of Terror came out in 1975.
Good stuff, man.
It's inspiration for so many things. And if you've never seen it before, watch it. It's awesome. Right. And then we're going to finish the episode, which we could probably talk for an hour about it, on one of the best movies that's ever been made. The first blockbuster, certainly one of the best horror movies, one of the best action movies, Jaws, came out when I was just a wee bunny lad. I wasn't even born yet when it came out, because it came out in the summer. I was born in September. but freaking A, dude. Jaws. That's huge shit right
movie.
There.
Huge movie, man. Reached such a broad audience. Looking, the budget of Jaws was $9 million. The box office in 1975 dollars was $470 million.
Wow.
That's reaching a lot of people. You know, yes. Who doesn't know Jaws? You know, there's been so many parodies, so many references to Jaws in pop culture. It's an iconic movie. There's no other way to describe it, man.
It is so good that they have never been able to make a shark movie that even comes close to it.
Right. Everything's compared to it.
On you know what's awesome? Ricky and I did an entire episode dedicated to Jaws, and then we did a whole other episode dedicated to the sequels and ripoffs. Right? So one movie for an hour, and then an hour for like 20 movies.
Right.
Discussing, like, and the only one that really comes close to Jaws is Jaws 2. Uh-huh. And only because you pretty much had the same sort of scenery.
The same feel, like, to it, the same cast. It, yeah.
But, you know, Robert Shaw was not there. Richard Dreyfuss was not there. But still, like, Robert Shaw couldn't be there because he was...
Right, he died.
Well, he died, but so did Quint, you know. But Jaws 2 plays well as a sequel to Jaws 1. It's not a great movie, but it's not a bad one. But everything, every shark movie, and everything that they tried to do, Orca could probably... Orca's up there, like in a top three sort of situation. But dude, that was 40 freaking 5 years ago, and they have not made a serviceable shark movie in 45 years because Jaws is so good.
Well, it wasn't just a shark movie. That's the thing. It wasn't. Yeah. It was just so much more than just being a shark movie. I mean, it holds up so well. I've never gotten bored watching Jaws as many times as I've seen it. I've never sat down to watch it and gotten bored with it.
No, it's a perfect film. And what's so awesome about it in certain ways is sometimes you are a product of your mistakes, so to speak. Like, the movie is so good because the CGI, the mechanical shark, didn't work. So they had to come up with things.
Right.
So, like, the dock and the music. And, like, whenever the guys are out fishing and he pulls the dock off and he has to swim back and the dock starts coming back after him.
Yeah.
Like, you know... that there is bad news under the water, but you can't see it.
Yeah, you don't have to see it. Yeah.
But it just gives you the shivers. You're just like, ugh. You know, and whenever the shark does make its appearances in those certain scenes, like with the guy in the boat, in the lagoon, when he's trying to help Michael, who's fallen overboard, he's like, "Hey guys, are you kids all right?" And then the shark knocks over the boat and bites off his leg and all that. It's just like, it's horrifying. It is so well done that it's no surprise that people wanted to stay out of the water.
Right.
It's no surprise that people were scared of taking baths, because that monster is so real and so tangible and so palpable. And I don't have any more words for it other than it's like they just brought out a 4K restoration of it, and I've heard that it is amazing. I want to see it. But yeah, that movie is what heralded me into the world, and I have been a fan of sharks. Like Shark Week? Shark Week is some weak sauce, dude. I used to live shark life. My parents never edited what I could read. Like they made me look away during the boobs in Beastmaster, but I could sit there and like look at medical journals and shark attack victims and like have their organs ripped out by different kinds of sharks. And they're just like, "What you reading?" I'm like, "Sharks." They're like, "Oh, that's nice." I mean, sharks, it was a lifelong obsession, and it's because of Jaws. But yeah, that's where we end it.
That's a good way to end it.
Jaws is awesome. So yeah, hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on Instagram, hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on YouTube. Just send us an email or something. I don't know. Just if you want to reach out and give us an idea for a show, let us know. If you like the show, let us know. If you don't like the show, let us know. Just let us know. We're here. And in the meantime, I guess, keep it scary.
Later. Thank you.